Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We are back. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble here. 34 After, thanks for hanging around with me. My website is www.jbsba.com. And if you want to ask a question, all you got to do is send me an email, askjim@jbsba.com. Check that out when you get a chance. And don't forget, by the way, when you get to my website, you can subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every week by email. And I hope you'll check it out and give us a chance to send you one of those. And if you decide you don't like it, you can even take yourself off of our list. You can unsubscribe yourself. We make that available. We've got the technology to do that. And it's just about as cool as it can get, about as easy as it can get, too. Let me remind you about our good friend Sam Norwood, who's with us right now, as I promised you. Sam is with Tatum Partners. They've changed their name a little bit. Tatum Partners. And he's our good friend. He's here to talk to us about what's happening out there in the economy, with as reported by people like you and me who are out there where the rubber meets the road. What are they doing? Are they buying? Are they selling? Are they hiring? Are they firing? Sam Norwood, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
It's good to have you back. And folks, every month, as you know, as many of you know, Sam Norwood's organization, Tatum Partners, polls several hundred chief financial officers and chief information officers around the country to see what's going on out there in businesses not unlike yours and mine, to see what they're saying. And Sam, what's the news?
Well, the news is mixed. It's good, but it's declining in the rate of goodness. And it's an interesting thing. We picked up on this the rate of improvement in the economy, Jim, we think peaked in about August. And you know that ultimately it was reported that for the third quarter, the gross domestic product, GDP, increased at a great rate of 8.2%.
But that was almost a dangerous peak, Sam.
Well, it was not sustainable, but it was the turnaround that we'd been waiting on for some time, and so things took off. And then in the fourth quarter, they just have reported last week that the economy was growing still nicely, but at 4% instead of at the 8.2% in the third quarter.
And so we're actually kind of thankful for that, aren't we?
Well, we are, because it's more sustainable, but here's the downside. Suppose we're growing at 4%, but our rate of improvement in productivity is almost as high as that. Mm-hmm. And that's why the jobs situation is so weak. Our productivity still is strong, and so the jobs picture is sort of the downside of this.
Well, in the past 30 days, you guys reported that about 4 out of 10 of your respondents said things were getting better, and about 1 out of 10 said things got worse, and the rest of them said it was about the same.
Yep. And what we think is that January looked a lot like December.
Mm-hmm.
We're still growing. Business conditions are still pretty good, but they aren't getting better at the same rate as they were earlier, and that maybe just is a maturing and a good thing overall for the sustainability, but we worry about the jobs.
And you know, Sam, I mean, really, January and February are not good retail months typically. And so
January turned in to be stronger than most folks expected, because I think retailers were out there unloading excess merchandise, and the mm-hmm. cold weather brought people into the stores.
Hmm. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you think this all aligns for the coming year, for 2004?
Well, we think 2004 is going to be a good, a good economy year. But people are on the lookout for interest rates to be rising if the economy stays growing as strong as it has been. Our view of that is that the economy is now growing at such a you know, a sustainable rate that it, and it's balanced, that it may be that interest rates are going to stay low for a longer period of time than most people think.
Well, of course, there's some people who think that the Fed needs to take advantage of the economy being strong and rebounding to try to reload a little bit with some ammunition. I mean, right now they're pretty close to being out of ammunition to fight a downturn, to fight a deflationary or any kind of a downturn, because they're, you know, the Fed funds rate is at 1%. They need to kind of reload a little bit to have a little more ammunition in case of an emergency of some kind. And I want to get your thoughts on that right after these messages. And a little bit also, folks, Sam's got some news on the jobs that his organization is predicting on what's going to be happening with jobs and what is happening now as well. Stay with us. 20 till. We'll be right back.
A band is blowing Dixie.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Sam Norwood with the Tater Partners. And Sam, why don't you give us your website, please?
Yeah, the website, Jim, and that's where our survey is posted every month on the 5th of the month, is tatumpartners.com. S-T-A-T-U-M partners.com. And people can go there and get the full survey each month, starting on the 5th of the month.
I appreciate you making that available. What was the biggest surprise in the report that you got this month, Sam, on January?
Yeah, it's very interesting. The biggest surprise has to do with our headcount analysis. We ask our partners, do you, in your business, as you see your business, in the last 30 days, was your headcount up or down or about the same? And we ask them to look out for 60 days. Do you expect headcounts to go up, go down, or stay about the same? And the results were frankly kind of pessimistic about that. In fact, in the last 30 days, only 26% of our surveyed people said they added to employment, and that's down from 28% in the previous month. And if they look out for the next 60 days, the proportion of our respondents expecting to hire additional employees declined to 31% from 42% in the prior month. So we'll see at 8:30 Eastern time today what the jobs report is that the government releases, but our guess is that it's going to be a bit disappointing to people, but we don't know. We'll see in a little while today.
It'll be very interesting to match up your numbers with the government's numbers, won't it?
Yes, it will. We take some pride in saying, well, here we have our finger right on the pulse right now, and the government releasing of figures tends to be a bit delayed, so that's why we feel like our survey is a help to
Can
people.
Can you get into any kind of trouble by scooping the government there, Sam? I'm not. You guys might want to be careful. You might get in some trouble scooping the government there.
it's if it works, it works.
I don't want them to come knocking on your door and, you know, drag you out of there or something. Well, you know, Sam, this employment thing, we've got to put this in perspective. This is a What you just described and what we're experiencing in the United States is a global phenomenon, isn't it?
Well, it is global, and our whole market now is global, and that has to do with employment opportunities as well as interest rates and pressures on inflation. But our whole situation, we used to look at our local at our domestic government and say, oh, you know, our capacity to manufacture things is being used up, therefore prices are going to go up. But now, when we can't just look at our domestic production, we look at world production and world productivity improvements, and that has to do with everything from employment to inflation to interest rates.
Right, absolutely. Well,
the big shift, Jim, is that the nature of our jobs is changing. And people, it's important that all of us as individuals learn to accept that the job we do today may not be in demand for tomorrow, and we need to be alert to be retraining.
And that's the reason why we actually find ourselves in a very unusual period. You know, it wasn't that big 100 years ago. It wasn't that big of an occupational shift to go from the farm to the factory.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty occupational shift to go from the assembly line to a computer, to an office, to working in a, you know, to from building something that you can hold to working with something that's intangible. We're going through a period of time right now that's really kind of unprecedented, isn't it?
Well, it is. We're going from using our hands to using our heads, and it's so important that you know, we're losing our ability in some ways to make crafts and to be articulate with our hands, but we have to be articulate with our heads now, and the whole revolution is improving our way of life and our capability for having a more intellectually stimulating life, including our work.
The
adjustment's hard.
And it's not just on the employment side, Sam. You know, I'm a free trader, as you know. I believe in free trade. But I also believe that that trade should be fair, that we should have fair trade.
Yeah.
And that's one of the places where that we need to be focusing on right now also, is not only in adapting to free trade, but making sure that when we trade with other countries that it's as fair as possible. Because as you said, we're going to lose some capability here in the United States that actually might become some pretty important one day. We might export some things that we don't need to be exporting.
Well, we may be becoming dependent on importing things also, Jim, that maybe we should retain the capacity to make right here.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
That's the defense on the steel business as an example.
No, absolutely. And you know, Sam, I've talked about China before. You and I've talked about China. I've said that China is an economic tsunami that was going to wash over the world. It's actually doing that right now. And of course, you know, they're a capitalism rookie. You know, they're not really good at this yet.
Well, they're historically for thousands of years great traders, and I've traveled to China and I've traveled to places in Eastern Europe, Russia, for example.
Yeah.
And let me just say, the Chinese are, in my judgment, great traders, and they understand from thousands of years about how to do this.
Stand by, Sam. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our good friend Sam Norwood. After these messages, we're going to talk some more about how the economy's doing. Tim Till, stay with us. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Sam Norwood is our guest. He's with Tatum Partners. Sam, tell us a little bit about Tatum.
Well, Tatum Partners is a large partnership in 25 cities across the United States with a total of about 350 partners, and we fulfill the roles of chief financial officer and chief information officer for companies, typically small, medium-sized companies, and we assist as an extension of the CFO and CIO offices in large companies. So we do projects and we fulfill the role on an outsourced basis.
If you're an emerging company and you need more brain power in the area of financial and the information systems, but you can't quite afford a full-time, you know, professional, somebody at the, you know, at the highest level, but you still like to get that brain power because you know you're going to need it maybe in a year or two or something like that, you're exactly a good candidate for the Tatum folks, because what they'll do is they'll let you have a guy part-time, won't you, Sam?
Yeah, we can have one of our people be at a business for one, two, or three days a week, and that way you get the horsepower that you need when you need it without being stuck with a horsepower that you don't need.
Right.
And it's much more cost-efficient to do that.
And that's at TatumPartners.com, right? They can find out more about you?
Yes, and then get to meet the partners on that website, because we have all our biographical information there.
Right. Sam, let's look into the future. What are your partners saying about what's coming at us for the next 60 days?
Well, the next 60 days look a little bit better than the past 60 days, frankly. Our partners who responded in our survey, the next 60 days, business conditions are expected to improve for 65% of the respondents and to get worse for only 6% of our respondents. And so the ratio actually turned up a little bit from last month, even though the percentage that expected improvements last month was 68%. There was a larger percentage that thought they were going to be worse off. So The bottom line of all that is that the next 60 days look something like where we are right now with a slight improvement overall.
Sam, we were in a recession for a while, but in terms of capital spending, we were almost in a three-year depression. And are we seeing the capital spending pick up like we'd hoped?
Yeah, not quite at the rate that we hoped. We actually peaked in our capital expending commitments late last year in, I think, November. But at the same time, that was when the rate of change in the improvement of our economy was peaking. But still, it looks pretty good, and we had a good uptick in our outlook for capital commitments. We ask our survey respondents to tell us whether you expect in the next 60 days to be making more capital commitments, less capital commitments, or keeping them about the same. Fully 32% of our respondents saw an improvement in capital spending. In the next 60 days, well, 50% expected an improvement. Here we go. Sorry. 38% expected an improvement, and that's up from 36% in the prior month. So we think that capital commitment expenditures will be rising in the next
Need. That's what needs to be happening, and hopefully the tax cuts are helping with that, helping that to get going, because the bedrock, you know, the mother's milk of the overall economy right now has been consumer spending, but it needs to become more the capital spending, doesn't it?
The capital spending is our signal that we'll be transitioning from a recovery to an expansion. Expansion means we're going beyond where we've ever been before, and we need more capital to do that. And so, as this takes off, it'll be the signal that we're really moving forward and out of where we've been into a new arena of economic growth.
Sam, that's going to have to be the last word. Thank you for being here. Good job today, as always, and we'll see you next month. You'll be back with another report next month, won't you?
Sure will. We'll post it on the 5th and look forward to being with you, Jim, shortly after that.
Thanks. Sam Norwood, ladies and gentlemen, with Tatum Partners. That's tatumpartners.com. Don't forget to check out their website. Actually, I got to go for this hour, but I'll be back. Don't worry. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.